Good morning. Welcome home. When you're in this place, you're home. People who've come in for the first time say, it feels like home in here. It feels like some place that I want to be and that I've been, or it reminds me of something. It's full of a lot of warmth and love, and that is reflective of the people that are here, because this is properly a building. It does not have a personality of its own. It's what we give it from what's inside ourselves. And so since this place is full of love, people properly feel that. I know I felt it 2.5 years ago, and I knew something special was here. And I've loved it ever since. What I want to talk to you today about is your emotional home, the one that you carry with you all the time. It's known by another phrase, security versus insecurity. We all know some places that we walk into and we say, I don't like that energy very much. And other places we walk into and we say, this is just lovely and wonderful. We've never been there before, and we just know that something wonderful has been here, happened here, or is going on there. And our intuition tells us that. We are sensitive people about our physical surroundings. And I want to ask you and challenge you today as we begin the Welcome Home theme for this year to look inside yourselves and ask how at home you are with yourself. After all, you're the one who has to live with you 24 hours, 7 days a week. And when I realized that about myself, that was a scary proposition at one time. Because I knew properly that there were things that I went around and did and weren't for my best, and I had to do some mental house cleaning. And I think I told you about Emmett Fox's 7-day mental diet. It took me a year to get through, and one that I don't want to go through again real quick. It's very, very difficult to be that disciplined, but I can tell you it's also worth it. But let's say that we understand that we are a compendium and composite of thoughts that we carry around about ourselves and about our world. When I talk about home, I'm just not talking about the physical place you live, obviously, or the place you're in right now. I'm talking about the space from the tip of your head, top of your head, to the tip of your feet. What's that like to be in that space all the time? What is it that moves you, drives you, lifts you, excites you, also depresses you, scares you, makes you fearful and angry? My contention is, of course, and what would you expect a New Thought minister to say, but you're thinking. And the way that you think determines the quality of your life. And we hear so much today about self-care. We hear people say it's very important for you to take this time, usually off to yourself, usually away from the stresses and strains of life, to meditate, contemplate, visualize. In other words, care for yourself. And self-care is not a selfish thing. I could quote Oscar Wilde, and I'm going to love oneself is the beginning of a lifelong romance. And I kind of agree with Oscar, because if you're not loving yourself properly, you're not going to be able to love other people properly. The problem is that sometimes when we look inside ourselves, we want to run from what we see. We don't want to deal with it. We, as Nathaniel Brandon said, we disown it. Or as Freud said, we repress it. Or as Jesus said, we hide our light under a bushel. You know, the human experience is really not very new. We've gone through things over and over and over again through the years. The concerns that we have now about ourselves are not too much different than what there were 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. We just have technology to remind us of it quicker. We have 24-hour news. We're inundated with all kinds of things that we don't even have a chance to really deal with. And we're trying to also deal with yesterday and today. And we're in a state of cogitation and agitation and then rumination about what we thought. And we wonder, with collecting all this stuff that we have, why life doesn't feel the way we want it to. Well, the self-care that you do, perhaps for an hour a day, is wonderful and necessary, but I'm going to speak of a self-care that you could do all the time by reminding yourself of who and whose and what you are. If I ask you to tell me where yourself is located, many people have said to me, for example, it's behind my eyeballs. That's where I feel a sense of self. But the eyes are only something you see through. They are accoutrement to your body. When your mouth is the same, it's only a way of expressing what you feel. So the mouth doesn't properly talk. The eyes don't really see. So where is this self that I'm talking about? It's here. It's in the thoughts and the environment that you carry a picture of about you. And many times you say, I'm proud of the fact that I. And it may be that I did something, that I accomplished a goal, that I recovered. All those things are wonderful. Or it can be, I'm very proud that I can't let this go and don't want to, because I'm not going to give it up until they say they're sorry or they do the penance I ask. Now you see the dichotomy we have here. We're doing sometimes these things simultaneously. And we wonder, why does life get hard? It's really because we're not clear channels to ourselves. We're not doing the self-care that we could do pretty much every moment. And instead going for that hour and saying, I'm clean, I'm pure, I'm cleansed, everything's fine. And then we don't really change our minds about what it is that we're carrying. This self is a tricky thing. It can be modified at a moment happening. It can be changed by a thought, and it can be re-impressed over and over again by memory. You say memory is a wonderful thing and a tragic thing. It gives us an identity of who we are. Memories and experiences. And if they've been less than what you would like to be, then I'm challenging you to do radical self-care, not just with things that have to do with the outer. My grandmother used to put up cold cream on her. I'd hug her, she'd slip out of my arms. That was her self-care, cold cream. My mother, unfortunately, it was food. My father, cigarettes. We all have things that we do to care for ourselves, and they may not be the best, but they feel comfortable. They feel familiar. Well, if you're going to do something that's not the best, if that's what you want to do, landscape it in with what I'm talking about. In other words, love the part of you that doesn't necessarily want to give up the things that you don't want to give up right now. When you do that, you're getting at home with yourself. You're becoming integral. You're becoming one. And because your neighbors say, you shouldn't do that, or if you're spiritually advanced, you'd be past that, or I don't get you, realize that life's an inside job. Happiness is an inside job. You don't exist for the approval of others. And one of the things that I have said over my career in ministry is, for example, I love approval. It feels good. I desire approval. I don't need it. Because if I needed it, I'd be at the whim of everybody that crossed my path. So if you can get to that place where you love yourself warts and all, with me, it's diet sodas and all. We all have something. And sometimes we've transcended enough that we're not doing anything that's really considered vice or something we shouldn't do. We've overcome that. Wonderful. But be at home with you no matter where you are in the process. The self-care that I'm talking about has to do with thought rearrangement. I found it interesting that feng shui has become a thing in the last 10 years. I know it had been going on long before that in other parts of the world, but we got hold of it in America and we began to realize that our home's environment has a lot to do with how we feel. But antecedent to that is a thought that says, I want to change what I look like out here. In other words, we're seeking something here first, and we're thinking it's going to work when we get it out there. But if that was the case, then we'd never want to rearrange a thing again. We'd never want, for example, to have another car. We'd never want to have another house. We'd never want to change our habits of how we buy clothes or how we dress. We are progressing human beings. We are evolving. And we've got to have a lot of patience with ourselves. This is a tricky world. But if we do what I'm suggesting today, and we're grounded from the inside, and we're self-directed, and we're sure of who we are, then we could walk through this landmine of technology, loud voices, division, hurt. We can do it with more grace. We can do it in a way that's adept and not inept. Ineptitude is pointing fingers at other people. And I know it can be trite and say, when you point one, there's four pointing back at you. Well, that's true. When we point fingers at other people, when we judge other people, when we hold ideas less than the best about other people, we're really saying, I already feel that about me. You see, it has to resonate. We can't give others what we haven't already felt and have ourselves, whether it be good or bad. So if you do the self-care that I'm talking about, that isn't just for an hour a day, and isn't just a routine, but catch yourself the moment that a thought comes to you that's not for your highest good, and say, stop. Some people put a rubber band on their wrist and pop it, and they get tired of popping it after a while. Those thoughts get better. I'm not against any kind of tricks that you can use to change your mind. But ultimately, if there was no rubber band and there was no outer anything, you'd still be faced with changing yourself, changing your attitude, and changing your life yourself. The outside is all dressing. In fact, I'll say, ultimately, love is all there is. All else is filler. When you're at home with you, when you feel comfortable with you, people are going to see it. James Allen said, and as a man thinketh, that a wise and noble character is built over a period of time and is envied by people who want to have what they have. It's like a wise man or woman is like a shade-giving tree. People come there because they see something that they resonate with. Because this world is so loud right now, because there is so much technology, I think we're all agreeing to vibrate and say, yes, I'm aware and I'm doing okay. Maybe we're not. If you are, wonderful. If you're not, there's a way to let it go. The stop process is just one way. The rubber band process is another. But really, what it comes down to is a total and radical shift about what you think about who you are. You are made in the image and likeness of God, endowed with the power of choice and the power to choose a new way and a new direction any moment you choose. Sometimes that means letting go the encumbrances that you have collected. In fact, oftentimes it means that. I don't know any of us that have gotten to the age we are that haven't collected some kind of things that we need to release and some serious hurts that we have to let go of. When we're doing self-care and radical self-care that I'm talking about, we are living in a state of forgiveness of ourselves every moment. Does it mean that we are rationalizing our mistakes or we're not apologizing for something? It means that we direct it back to ourselves. Now, I'm not talking about narcissism. I don't mean that I'm right, everybody's wrong, I love me so much that I can't do anything wrong. That's not what I mean. What I mean is realizing that in this form you're in, you're here to learn, and that you're going to learn about you by the choices you make. So if that's the case, you can make better choices. You can have a mental and emotional home that you furnish inside with what you want that makes you feel a certain way when you go out into the world. We all know and have the experience of wanting to go home again. It's a little personal for me right now, since I'm in my father's home going through things that I had seen all my life, but he's no longer there. And the lights that used to be on now are dark. And the places that he occupied are empty. And I'm sitting there going through his things in his home and feeling like, I don't really want to do this. This was yours. So you see, that's a process of home cleaning that I'm having to do right now that I'd rather not do. But I also recognize that when I'm doing it, it's an act of love for him, for me, to keep what is necessary and to remove the rest. I wanted to talk about welcome home in this first Sunday in January because it is a theme that I would like for us to embody this year. And I think love begins literally at home, and I don't mean here or where you live. I'm talking about right here inside you. What places can you love that need loving? What mental furniture can you rearrange that makes life work for you better? Is it music? Is it spirituality? Is it art? Literature? Walking? What are the things that thrill you on the inside? They don't have to be theological. They don't have to be things that you even go out and talk to somebody about. They're things that can be very, very private and sacred to you. The only way to change a group of people, and I don't really want to do that unless it's positive, but really the only way to do that is for each person to make a decision to be in harmony and love and cherish growth. If we don't do that, we're stagnating. Have you ever seen somebody who refuses to entertain a new idea? You couldn't get it through their head with a sledgehammer. They will say, I know what it is, that's it. I don't want to talk about it, forget it. And what it does is it says, well, okay, I mean, can we talk about something else? And you'll find that those opinions that they have, they cherish these hard-crusted opinions because of their identity. It gives them an identity. Well, what I'm challenging us to do is to have an identity that is open, loving, ready, receptive to ourselves, because that's what we're going to take out of here. In other words, if I say to you, you must do this, then you're properly going to be resentful because it's not something that you've decided for yourself. I've said control is good for cars and remotes, but not people. I want people around me that are resonating to the highest in them, no matter what that is, so long as it's not hurting somebody else. I want to see people that are fulfilled and self-actualized, who have arranged their mental furniture in such a way that they're listening to their inner signals and they're following their lights, their inner lights. A lot of times this happens in recovery from people who have been addicted, who have numbed their thoughts and their feelings with substances. They come out of it and say, wow, it's a whole new world out there. I'm feeling things I've never felt. I feel different. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to have when you're not numbed, when you're at home and comfortable with who you are. I'm asking each one of us today to rearrange our mental houses. Make it as secure as you want it to be. See yourself and others in the best light. And the way you're going to do that is if you clean that windshield that you have that you see the world through. We all have one. It's not physical, but it is still there. It's our filter. It's our perception. And then we project from that perception. And when we project, the real problems happen. Because we expect and demand that others march to our tune. And yet, as a society, we've always liked those who have sought to listen to their own music and march to their own tune. Thoreau said, if a man doesn't keep pace with his companions, it may be because he hears a different tune. Let him march to that tune, no matter how distant or far away. And sometimes we get a little insecure when people want to do that. They're walking outside our molds. And we're sure sometimes sad or afraid or whatever to walk outside of our own. That's why I'm saying before you try to do that, get it straight here. Because from here comes every other act. And if you want a lesson about home that means a lot to New Thought people and certainly a lot to me, it would be the prodigal son who left home and engaged in riotous living and thought that another home would give him what he wanted. He left the comforts of a home he had been in and went out and did a lot of things that hurt him, that actually had him ending up in a pigsty eating with the pigs. And he said, if I can only go back to my father's house, but he won't have me, if I can only go home. Isn't that something? Even then, he wanted to go home. Even lying in slop, he wanted to go home. And the great and wonderful message of this story was when the father got news that his son wanted to come home, he said, we're going to have a feast and a banquet, and I'm going to give my son the best clothes because he's on his way home. And when the son was coming home, the father saw from a great distance and ran to him. Didn't say, look what you did. Didn't say, I told you so. Didn't say, you got to go through a lot of catechism to get to me. The father opened his arms and said, this is my son who was lost and now found. Welcome home. If we're loved like that, as Scripture tells us so, if that parable is true, and I believe it is, then all we have to do is open our arms to receive this. And it's up to us to decide how to use that for ourselves. Remember, the stories in the Bible are metaphysically interpreted best. The idea of sin, guilt, separation, and atonement was all played out in the story of the prodigal son. Good religion is good psychology. And good psychology is good religion. The problem is we want to separate, categorize, homogenize, pasteurize until we're all walking the same way, doing the same thing, thinking the same thoughts, and saying we're happy doing it. No, care for yourself enough to go inside and light yourself up. Follow your own flame inside. Care for yourself. Give yourself the best you have to give. There are ways to do that besides the meditation that you may do every day, besides the contemplations, the visualizations. There are places that you can go that you know mean something to you. There are books you can read that you know mean something to you. All it takes is a thought. Happiness is really a thought away. If you think about it, purpose of a therapist or a counselor is just to bring you to that point where you make a change in your mind. However long it takes is really up to you. Now, I'm not saying shortcut a therapeutic process if that's what you're doing. What I am saying is there'll come a time where you have to decide in favor of you and of new life. And you see, all the great scriptures of the world, Bhagavad Gita and the Christian Bible, and everything in between talk about the now and newness of life. And the way you're going to experience that is if you care for yourself enough to let go of what no longer works. So as you begin this process, and I hope you will, as you begin to let go and know that self-care is a minute-by-minute thing, sometimes second-by-second, when you do this, you'll begin to notice that you feel ever so slightly different. And in my case, it was enough that I felt different enough to want to see what the next moment was like, and the next. And before you know it, you have a long history behind you of choosing in favor of your highest self. That's what Christ Jesus challenged us to do. That's what Charles and Myrtle Fillmore challenged us to do. That's what growth challenges us to do. Welcome home to yourself. Give yourself a hug. Give yourself your best. And if it's hard to do it for a long time, do it for a minute at a time. Two, three, four. Hug yourself. Love yourself for what you've been through. Honor your experience. And remember, this thing we call personality, this thing that we carry around, this emotional home, can be altered. And it can be altered by just a simple change in your thinking. That's really all we're dealing with anyway, is thoughts. Louise Hay said, what we're dealing with are thoughts, and thoughts can be changed. Our opinions about ourselves can be changed. We can give ourselves an upgrade. All of us deserve it, and I wish that for you this week, this month, and as we go on at Unity of Bernie, talking about radical self-care and welcome home this year. I'm excited about that because each one of us are going to grow in ways we didn't think we may or that we could or that we would, because all of us will be engaged in the process of extending this radical self-care to ourselves on a daily basis. And I am honored and happy to be part of facilitating that. I wish you the best this week, and I claim the best for your life right now, and so it is.